Romans 3 and verse number 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. This is the text, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, Romans chapter 5, please. And verse number 6. And verse number 8. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now turn, please, to the book of Hebrews and chapter 10. And verse number 12, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. One final text in Mark's Gospel, please, and chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I just want to sum up at the end of the meeting four particular things that we find in the four verses. We'll look at them very simply and clearly. I hope you'll pick it up. I want to think of the indisputable fact in relation to humankind, that none are excluded, all are embraced under the text, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, I want to think of the incredible love. I could stand here, and if God give me breath and power and the Spirit of God enabled me to stay to 12 o'clock at night here, the crowd probably would disperse, but I could never tell out the love of God. It goes beyond human comprehension that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Indeed, I challenge an audience like this. If you can tell me and comprehend God's love, stand up and tell me. It's beyond angels' comprehension, beyond human comprehension, and there remains God's incredible love. I want to look at the infinite sacrifice. That is, my friend, this can't be measured. The sacrifice of Christ stands absolutely unique in contrast to all Old Testament sacrifices. The many thousands of animals slain, blood that flowed from Jewish altars. There's one sacrifice of infinite value that Christ offered upon the cross. A sacrifice, number one, that is absolutely abundant in its scope, because thank God all men can be saved. I believe that with all my heart. I made one mistake today, sitting in the seat beside my wife and grandson, when our brother Scott was preaching. I should have said my amen to the fact, my friend, of that grand, full orb, limitless, boundless gospel of Jesus Christ. It includes and embraces all of humankind. None need perish, all may live, for Christ has died. And finally, I want to look at the indescribable loss. I would stand here tonight, and even in my little short time of living on earth, I think of some who left the scenes of earth, who died in their sins, the loss of which we'll never be able to describe. Sometimes it still haunts us in our thinking that some that we knew so well and some that were related to us by nature's ties passed into the vast, unending, immeasurable eternity, never to come back. Oh, the indescribable loss of a soul. I hope I'm not speaking to anyone. Just a moment, take a breath. Stop a moment tonight in the meeting. Young man, it's time you stopped. You die without Christ. I would like to say it with tears. The loss is indescribable. Only those that die in their sins and go out into eternity without Christ will understand the immensity of the reality of being lost in hell forever. First of all, friend, the indisputable fact, let the agnostics say what they want, or humanists try to give their philosophies, and we hear all kinds of things and read them in books and hear this and that and debates about this, about humankind. Listen, the Bible is so clear, so definite, so powerful that, my friend, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter the background. It doesn't matter the culture. It doesn't matter the class. It doesn't matter, friend, where you associate with in a Sunday or any other place that you might associate with. It doesn't matter about your genealogy. It all goes down to a basic, indisputable fact. You haven't taken it in yet, or you'll be crying out for salvation. I'm just a sinner, lost and guilty before God. My friend, that would be one great lesson that you would learn tonight if God would just write it deeply upon your soul, embed it by the Holy Spirit. One word that we are missing in our gospel preaching is repentance. Man needs to repent of their sin, friend. Sin in its enormity. Sin in its depravity. Sin in its guilt. We're all guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, it takes in the religious and the irreligious, the educated and the illiterate, doesn't matter class, color, creed. That, my friend, start. You know, I'm going to be a little slow for a moment. Have you taken that in tonight? I pause purposely. May the awe of heaven and eternity grip our souls. That you stand before God, friend, it's wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, death by sin, death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned, friend. The Bible tells us so clearly, I'm quoting the Bible, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, people sometimes would rather have a smoother thing. Give you a pat on the back and say, you're not. What does the Bible say? There's a man one day stood in the temple. In fact, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes. Smote upon his breast and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The prodigal in a far flung country, my friend, wasting his substance, looking back to a father's house and the bounty and blessing. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. It's a great thing when God works and sinners feel the reality of their sin. Guilty before God. Come short of God's glory. And they recognize, yes, that's all true. God, I can't dispute it any longer. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to turn against it. I'm going to accept it in all its reality. That's why Paul said, a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world, what? To save sinners. So my friend, it's an indisputable fact. I'm thankful for the incredible love. You know, friend, I'm amazed at that. When I think that God is so not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing. He bled, he died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, a God against whom we have high-handedly, rebelliously sinned and taken our own course. Isaiah 53 verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Yet God comes out in boundless love. Incredible. You know what I can't get over, that God loved me. Did you ever get over that? In fact, it baffles me the older I am. I'm 73 now. I'm just a young fella, but I'm 73 now, and I can't even get over it yet. That God loved Albert Hull with all his sin and rebellion, brought up under the beams of the gospel, a praying mother, a preaching father, and brothers and sisters saved, and there I'm a prodigal on the broad road going down.
carelessly to hell when my friend stopped by the mighty power of our God. Only God could have stopped me and given me thoughts about my soul and eternity, heaven and hell. And on the roadside, guilty, lost, and helpless, blessed be his name. God so loved me that he gave his own blessed son. And thank God I took it in a moment of time. But I'm a guilty sinner. But Jesus died for me. My friend, listen, I wouldn't have called the king my uncle. The old Irishman said when he got saved, he could have rode a bicycle up a tree, foolish thought. But anyway, he was so happy. And I was touched by that story. I've told it so many times about that man, Morris Reuben, a Jew in Pittsburgh, brought up with the wealth, great inheritance. A buyer was going into his store, selling and so forth. And as he went in, Morris Reuben, the younger, the son, said to himself, that man's different than others. One day he approached him. He said, tell me, sir, you must have been born happy. And the buyer replied, yes, I was born happy on my second birthday when I accepted Christ Jesus as my personal Savior. The arrow got home. And the Jew, Morris, he got a New Testament, read through the Gospels, good place for sinners to read. And he come to the crucifixion, recognizing the Messiah of the Old Testament is the Christ that hung on dark Golgotha tree. And he trusted him, was saved. You know, he got assurance through a verse. And the way he put it was, I heard a voice. And the voice said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, his family disowned him. They were going to give him part of the inheritance and send him away to Montana from Pittsburgh, out of the way completely. He said, I got the light in Pittsburgh, and that's where I want to make it shine. And he stayed in Pittsburgh. They actually put him in asylum, his people, because they thought his mind had gone insane. And he finally landed in a courtroom. A doctor was testifying for the Jewish family against Morris that there's something wrong. He heard a voice. There's something wrong with his mind. And it happened to be God in his infinite wisdom had a Christian judge on the bench. Thank God there are some Christian judges, you know. And of course, the Christian judge said to, who certified that this man, Morris Reuben, is insane? And the doctor replied, I do. He said, on what grounds do you certify that, doctor? Because he heard a voice. Ah, says the judge, didn't the Apostle Paul hear a voice? And became a mighty custodian of the gospel of Jesus Christ? He said, you should be ashamed to bring a man to court because he heard the voice, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that someone would hear that voice tonight. There's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone. Will you come and from judgment be free to the man who in Calvary died? Oh, my friend, I heard a voice too. It wasn't audible. It's from this good old book. And thank God it come in all its living Holy Ghost power. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, my friend, thank God for the incredible love. And indeed, I was reading an article. I read it to my wife. I like going over old history, of course, and revivals and stuff like that. Even if you're not a revivalist, it puts a wee bit of something into you. And it's told about John G. Payton. He left Scottish soil to land in a cannibal island called, you can read it in history, T-A-N-A, Tanna. That island had never known the gospel. It was as dark as midnight. As far as gospel truth was concerned, they eat human flesh. They live naked. And John G. Payton landed on that little island of Tanna. He used to cry, oh God, remember the dark island of Tanna. He buried his wife and his little one on that soil in that little island of Tanna. He said, I broke my heart as I stood with a musket over that grave lest the cannibals would take the body and eat it. 3 years I survived and escaped the savagery of those men looking for my life. I was up a tree. The best moments I ever had this side of heaven will be as I set up the tree and enjoyed communion with the Lord Jesus. Blessed be his name. But he said the day arrived after 3 years. I'll never forget it. He said the nearest thing to glory dawned upon him as he looked at a circle of over 150 cannibals sitting down to commemorate the Lord's death. He said, when I passed the bread and saw some of those black hands that were once stained with human blood, and those lips that once took between their lips human flesh, he said, it overwhelmed my spirit. I shed tears of joy. And I thought, this is the next thing to the bliss of glory. Oh, my friend, love reached. That dark love could reach you tonight. The love of God is greater far than pen or tongue can ever tell. Goes beyond the highest star, reaches to the lowest depths. Could we withink the ocean filled, where the sky with parchment made? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Or could the robe contain the whole? Though stretched from sky to sky. God so loved. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If the wrath of God, and I'll touch it in a moment, if the wrath of God doesn't move you, friend, and the fires of hell and the judgment of God and the darkness that's impenetrable doesn't touch and affect you, would the love of God touch you, friend? You who have long lingered in your sins, you have listened to the gospel of recent weeks. You have been prayed for, wept for, cared for. My friend from babyhood rocked to sleep with the songs of Zion. Would the love of God not reach you tonight? That God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? My friend, I'm looking forward to heaven. We're getting nearer to it, of course. Humanly speaking, getting shorter as far as time goes. But friend, what it'll be to be with that host, that innumerable throng from every country and every nation and every tongue and every tribe, and to sit down. Do you know something? I think one of the things that will fill heaven will be the love of God. And one of the things that will cause the heart to vibrate and praise to flow, as we look at the Christ, the centrality of heaven, and say, how greatly Jesus must have loved me. To bear my sins. To bear my sins in his own body in the tree. Thank God for the incredible love. I want to think of the infinite sacrifice. You know, all the Old Testament sacrifices, blood flowed, altars reeked with human the animals as they were upon altars. And they stood there, they watched it, they saw it. They saw the smoke ascend. We heard about the two goats. We hear about lambs. We see about bullocks. Read the Old Testament. It's filled with sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Blood, blood, blood. All through the New Testament. It all comes to a termination. And it all recedes. And all the sacrifices are forgotten in the sight of one sublime, unique, unsurpassed sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love it, friend. He loved the sacrifice. What are you resting on tonight? What have you got to meet God with? I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see that mighty sacrifice. And I have peace with God. Friend, there's only one. Thank God for its abundance. It knows no limits, knows no boundaries. This sacrifice offered once for all 2,000 years ago, Christ on dark Golgotha's tree, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a savior. If I have to go by the way of death, that's one hymn I want sung at the service. Man of sorrows. Hallelujah, what a savior. Yeah. Once abundant. Thank God we can tell it. Whether it's the Roman Catholic, the Islam, the Hindu, whether it's the Protestant, no matter what the color, class, creed, where they go, friends, it's all eliminated. And you come to one mighty sacrifice offered by God's Son at Calvary. But Jesus, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, forever. I'm putting it there, the forever. Offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Sometimes you get a little difference there, but I'm staying up with that. Too old-fashioned. Sat down. In fact, the Catholic Bible does put it. But Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice to perpetuity, took his seat at the right hand of God. Nothing. It's all over. Sins have been put away. We don't depend on a priest, a pope, an evangelist, a teacher, or any great celebrity of earth, friend. They all fade. Christ supreme. Oh, that I could really, by the help of the gracious Spirit, present that one sacrifice. What a sacrifice. Listen what it says. He offered himself without spot to God. He was the only fit and capable one to die in the place of the guilty. All have sinned, Christ sinless, upon dark Golgotha's tree. Thank God for the mighty sacrifice abundant. I'll tell you more than that. That sacrifice has been acceptable. I'll tell you right now, right to the back of the hall, anything that you could do, the best you could do, is not acceptable before God. It's all tainted with sin, friend. The best that man can do is filthy rags. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And friend, I'll tell you how I know about that mighty sacrifice. Not only in its abundance, unlimited, boundless, free. Once offered forever, never to be repeated. Add and add all the words you like to it. It stands in all its uniqueness. But it's acceptable? Yes. God raised him from the dead. He lives. Thank God the one we preach, friend, he's not on a cross. He was there. He's not in a tomb. He was there. But thank God he said, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. I'm linked to a living man tonight. Are you? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And thank God, friend, everyone. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. I was really going to tell my conversion tonight, but I did hint to it. Wonderful to be linked to a real living man in glory. Do you remember when it happened? Right to the back of the hall, young man, could I reach you? Unconverted, in your sins, lost, under the banner of guilt. Could I point you to the sacrifice that has been abundant, that is abundant, that is, my friend, acceptable? God raised him from the dead. He sat down. You know what I believe? When Christ went through the serried ranks of the created intelligences that he created. I'm only using, again, our brother used it, we can use it too. Sanctified imagination. Really, we couldn't go beyond in our thinking. When he was moving up through the ranks, through the powers of darkness, they fled from him. They were cast off as he went upward, and they saw him move in Acts 1. This same Jesus that you see, go up! My friend, I'll tell you, angels waited breathlessly and viewed the man with the marks and the passion wounds of the cross in his hands and feet. They must have said, here he is, God's Son, thrilled. I think one angel must have said, imagine, it's happened. He finished the work. And I still think angels are looking down in this meeting and all over our world. And when a soul comes to Christ, they're saying one to another, another one has trusted the sacrifice. You know, not too many people knew anything about me when I got saved. Kind of a rebel. A few phone calls here and there. But you know something? I'm amazed at this. I am amazed. Angels talked about me in heaven. Yeah. And they talked about you. You were saved at Murray. What was his age? 11. They talked about Murray. They talked about John. They talked about me. And one said to that, you know, Murray McCandless. Albert Hall. Scott McLeod. And it goes over. Everyone that gets saved, they say, another one has trusted Christ. And they rejoice. That's what it says. Luke 15. There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner. What? Is there one tonight in this meeting? One sinner? Come on now, out of what? I can't guess here. How many? 350? Would that be right, James? And all the sinners that are sitting here, is there one sinner that will cause heaven to ripple? By turning from your sin and turning to Christ and trusting in the value of that infinite sacrifice that's abundant, that's acceptable. And you know, tonight, it's right available for you. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God I come. The writer of that hymn, you know, after she died, they looked at her drawer, taking out all the different pieces that you had in the drawer, they found 1,000 replies of people that got saved through that one hymn, just as I am without one plea. Let me close with this, and I'm not going to keep you. It's just about the time. I can't describe the loss. I don't know. As I look into your face tonight, we love you. God loves you more. All I know is I had a cousin, probably coming near 40 around that. He left a public house full of drink, got on his motorcycle. His father's in heaven. His mother had Alzheimer's. The one that did drive him home, he said, no, I can go home. Great man for drink, great man for the sports of the world. They found his body lying across his driveway the next morning, gone into eternity. Someone stooped and looked at that open casket, and all they said was this. Would God I had died for thee. Lost. Indescribable. I leave it there, shall we pray?